quickly want to read to you a testimony from last week's service. I'm just not gonna get this, man. Here we go. Do you know Laura Vivier? Have you know Laura Vivier? You know Laura Vivier. Okay, so last week in the morning service and in the evening service, we prayed for people to get healed. So this is what she, just the testimony that she asked her to write me an email and just explain what happened. So she says the following. Hey, Armo, so for 3 years I've had patella tendonitis, whatever that is. Something with the knee, eh? In my right knee due to sport. I've been to an orthopedic surgeon, to numerous physio sessions where I've had acupuncture many times. Nothing seemed to work, as the pain just keeps coming back. On Sunday, I went forward for healing as the ladies were praying for me. So there's power in ladies praying, huh? As the ladies were praying for me, I felt a warm feeling in my knee and things started moving in my knee like it was pushed together again. After that, my knee went ice cold and I was completely healed. There is power in prayer. Huh? How cool is that? Okay, great. We're probably going to pray for people after the service again. So just know that our God exists and that He's powerful and He wants to heal people. Okay. So I have the pleasure of introducing. She is one of our elders. Some people call her the mothership. So can you do a wave and just say, hi, mothership? Okay, Krista's been amazing. She's really been a strong influence in what's happening in this church and very strategic woman, huh? And a very well-renowned businesswoman also in this town. So, Krista, we're just looking forward to what you want to share. We love you, and we just receive you as a prophet. Great. Amazing.
Wow, you know what? I don't have an option, but at this moment, just to really kick off my shoes, because I experienced tonight while we were worshiping, like Moses when he stood next to that bush that was burning, God is there. His presence is here. This is holy ground. Where you are sitting now is holy ground because of God's presence. And you know what? It fills me with awe that God chose us. He chose to be here tonight, to meet with every one of us tonight. He chose, He decided that. We just need to pitch up and He will just do everything. But please close your eyes and pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I stand in awe, Lord. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us personally by your Spirit. Lord, I am not afraid of the truth. Lord, I desire more of your truth. We desire it, Lord. We want it. We need it. Like the earth needs the rain, Lord, we need more of you. Father, we embrace your truth. Let your holy fire burn in our hearts tonight, Lord. Let it burn away all that access issues, Lord, all the stuff that is not from you. Burn it away in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to love what you love and to hate what you hate. Father, help us to discard all that baggage we have been dragging around all through our lives, to get rid of it, Father, and to choose you, to believe you, to accept the truth in our lives. And Lord, we acknowledge that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And Lord, I just thank you in advance for what you are doing here tonight, Father, that it is not just an event, it's not just the evening service, Lord, but tonight and the next few minutes we will share together in your presence, Lord, is significant. And we will be changed people because of you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Paul said to us in the book of Ephesians 1 verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know, understand, and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. That is the amplified version of that scripture. And his glorious inheritance in the saints, in the amplified, it also explained it as his set apart ones. You are one of his saints. We can sit here tonight and we can read the whole book from Genesis right through to Revelation. But if Jesus Christ is not here, if his Holy Spirit is not with us to break it open to us, it is words. But we need that revelation only Christ can give us. So I ask you to really sit and not listen to me tonight, but focus on Jesus, because he's talking to you. He's using me as an instrument, but God had an appointment with you tonight. That's why you are here. Without him, we can't see. Without him, our eyes are closed. Please read with me. If you brought your Bible with you, please open it. And we would like to read from 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Then there's a heading, the chosen stone and his chosen people. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, do you believe he is precious? But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they are also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now have obtained mercy. Wow, that is quite a mouthful. And those 10 verses, for me, is like something we can feed upon for the next 3 months. Because there's so much truth and conviction all in those 10 verses. If you look at that part of scripture, it gave me the first question that, what is the goal of Christianity? Why are we Christians? What is the goal of it? What would you think? Is it to come to church? Is it to read your Bible? Is it to attend a small group meeting? To use communion with fellow saints? Do you think those things are right? I think it's a little bit more than that. I believe the goal of Christianity is to know God intimately. And if we pause at that little phrase, to know God intimately, what does it really mean? You need to know him. Not know of him. Not read about him. Not sing songs about him. But to know him intimately. And for the next few minutes, I'm going to explain to you why I feel so strong about the truth within those few words. Because out of an intimate relationship with Christ comes ministry. Out of an intimate relationship with God comes intimacy in your small group, in Bible school, in the worship team, while we are having church together as fellow saints. Daniel said in Daniel 11 verse 32, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." But the people who know their God. So they did not only read about him, they took time to get to know him, to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. Peter warns us in these few words he wrote in that book that we are no longer newborn babes. We need to desire more than milk. There's a time for milk. There's a time for you to be a baby. But Shofar George, I urge you tonight to outgrow your baby growths, to outgrow your small baby shoes. The world needs mature people, adults, people growing up to accept the responsibility, to accept the responsibility to go, to get to know God intimately. And you can't become mature if you're still feeding on milk. So what does maturity look like? The Holy Spirit showed me 6 points. We can spend a little bit of time around to say, what does maturity look like? So if we look at these six points, that is how we should behave. That is how we should live. The first one is Jesus Christ, the living stone. Verse 4 referred to Jesus Christ as the living stone. Why? The Old Testament prophecies prophesied that Christ will be the living stone. Isaiah 28 verse 16. Psalm 118 verse 22 said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." The church, we are a living spiritual house. Because of Christ. We are not just a group of people. But why can I say Christ is the cornerstone and he's part of us being in this church? Because Christ is that foundation. He's a cornerstone that holds everything together. If you look at trees outside, the moment when the wind starts to blow and that tree hasn't got roots, the wind will just sweep it away. We need roots. We need a foundation. This building cannot withstand storms if it does not have a foundation. I can't live without Christ being my foundation. The church is just a group of people having regular meetings if Christ is not the foundation. Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 15 and 16, "No longer be children, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That is quite a mouthful. But it's so true. So Peter and Paul actually referred in both those scriptures, first letter from Peter chapter 2 and then Ephesians, to the church as a community. And a community is a living organization. One stone is not a building. One person is not a church. One body part is not a body. If I take my foot and I put it down there, that foot is meaningless, it's useless. But once it's attached to my leg, it has purpose. And it's the same with the church. The church needs an omo, but the omo needs the rest of the body to be a living church. The second point of maturity is to look into your own heart and to think, my relationship, when I want to get to know God intimately, is it just an intention or do you really desire it? And there's a big difference. In my previous life, I was a teacher, so I love, semantics, and I love looking up the meaning of words. And once again, the vocabulary helped me there. Intention is the thing that you plan, intended, to do or achieve. An aim or purpose, it's a goal, and it refers to a wish that one means to carry out. That is intention. And it's very good, you know, it's not bad. Versus the word desire. What is a desire? That is a strong feeling of wanting to have something. It's an urge coming right out in the depths of your body, wishing for something to happen. It's a craving. You need to have it. So, my question to you tonight is, to get to know God intimately, is that an intention or a desire? And I urge you, really, you know, keep this question in your minds. When you drive home tonight, when you go to bed tonight, just look into your own heart. And if it's still an intention, please change it. If it is just an intention to get to know God, you are still feeding on milk. You need to desire more of God. The third point, if we need to get to maturity, is the question of, can we stay the same? Can we afford to stay the same? Imagine that picture of the potter working with the clay. That clay is available for the potter to work with. So how willing are you that God can work with you? Verse 5 said, you also, as living stones, are being built. Being built is so significant. So we are busy, but you have to make yourself available to God. It's only the living stone that makes us alive. We can't ignite one another to be on fire for God. It is Christ, that living stone. And you are part of His perfect plan. You are the perfect stone in God's building. You, not the guy sitting next to you. You are the perfect stone. And being built tells me also that it's not the ones of. If you are here tonight and you really pay attention to what God is telling you, you can't just fall back tomorrow to this. You have to continue to grow. You cannot stay the same. And that brings me to my fourth point. Are you passive or are you in process? I'm just a farm girl. I had the privilege of growing up on a farm, and my father was a passionate farmer. And I learned so much about God through my father and the processes of nature. And there are a few of you who loves agriculture as well. When you put the seed into the soil, it needs to die first before it can grow. But if you don't feed that seed, there can't be growth. So if you are passive, can you bear fruit? No. So my question to you is, are you passive or are you in process? The Holy Spirit lives there. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? God chose that precious stone. He chose you. He chose me. And Jesus keeps everything together. The fifth point is a royal priesthood. Wow. I can't think but wow. God chose us to be a royal priesthood. When I read those words, it feels to me that I have to draw my shoulders back and I need to walk tall. I'm not a victim. I'm not an orphan. God chose me. He chose you to be a part of his royal priesthood. Oh, boy. I don't know about you, but for me, it's mind-blowing. You can be a medical doctor and write MD behind your name. Nee, that's what you do. Or you can say doctor in front of your name. You can have a plaque saying CEO of MD on your office door. That is meaningless. But to be part of God's royal priesthood. And why is it so wow to me? God dwells inside of me. If I may take a few seconds and just share a part of a testimony with you. I had the privilege to spend 3 months last year in Turkey. And it was not all fun and games. To live in a country for 3 months, 72 million people, and they can't understand you, and you don't understand them. But for the first time in my life, and I'm not young, I'm in my deep 50s, I realized last year, what does it mean to be part of God's royal priesthood? Living in this 99% Muslim country, every time when I entered a packed bus, a full train or a ferry, the Muslim men stood up and they gave me their seats. That is unheard of. It doesn't happen in a Muslim country. Why did it happen? I was a Western woman, unveiled. So for me, for them, I'm actually a nothing. But it dawned on me after 2 weeks of struggling and crying out to God, what's happening here? It freaked me out. The Holy Spirit reminded me of this verse. I am part of God's royal priesthood. Those Muslim men recognized God inside me. A mere human being, a plaas dochterke. I'm nothing in the eyes of the world. So why can I call myself and accept the fact that I'm part of royal priesthood? God dwells in me. God dwells in you. And God doesn't want the gastehuis. He doesn't want a B&B where he can come and visit you every now and again. He wants a spiritual house. He wants to come and live inside you. He does not want to be a visitor. He does not want you to just connect with him every now and again when you feel like it. That is not from God. Amo actually preached half my sermon beforehand, so thank you, Amo. If I got paid for this, I would have given him half my salary for tonight, but thank you, Amo. He referred during the worship to the fact that in the Old Testament, the priests were the intercessors between the sinners and God. You had to take your animals, you needed to sacrifice, and they would take it to the altar and they will come and give you absolution. Okay, your sins are forgiven. But we don't need to do that any longer. Jesus Christ gave us access to God. So now we can draw near to God directly with our sacrifices. The altar today is Jesus Christ and his blood. The priest who can enter, who draw near to God, is you and me. You don't need anybody else. It's great to be in fellowship with fellow believers, but you don't need any person to draw near to God. It's you and God. And the tabernacle where you bring your living sacrifice is the church today. What does it ask from us? Is to believe that fact and to obey. We need to obey. Obedience is a crucial part of a salvation. It's great to say, I do not know Jesus, I don't have a relationship with him. Please pray for me, and you can pray after me, and you can say, I decide today to follow Jesus. But I have a question for you. The day you prayed that sinner's prayer, and you decided, I'm going to follow Jesus, did you realize that day that there's a cost to be paid? Jesus paid a dear price for you and for me. And if your faith is not costing you anything today, maybe you need to look at that question about if you are being passive or in process. It is supposed to cost us something. It's supposed to cost you something to get rid of the baggage inside you so that there can be place for God to dwell in you. It's supposed to cost you something to switch off the TV and spend time with God in His Word. It's supposed to cost you something to get rid of all those issues you are dragging along. Maybe your grade 2 teacher told you, you are a stupid person, you can't do mathematics. Cut that off. Get rid of that so you can enter into the fullness of God's presence. You are part of God's holy priesthood. It's not only Amo. It's not only Mark. It's not only me. It's not only Philip or Marina. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. Ephesians 2 said, Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 19 to 22, you are of God's household. Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And that is the truth. I'm going to read it to you again. Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple. That is you in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. What you do tonight when you get to your hostel room in the res, when you go home, when you get into your car, you are a dwelling place of God, our holy God. It's written in the Word that Jesus said, I will build my church. The sixth point I had from the scripture was, it demands, it requires living sacrifices. It demands sacrifices through Jesus Christ to God. We need to be living sacrifices. Because without the living stone, without Jesus Christ, nothing has meaning. Jesus is the only way to God. Romans 15 verse 18 said, I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. We are in darkness without Him. We are nowhere near God without Jesus Christ. So, how can you become a sacrifice to God? You don't, remember, you don't need to slaughter that animal anymore, but you need to be the sacrifice. First, our bodies. How can your body be a sacrifice unto God? Everything you do with your body. You can also go and read 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. That refers to the deeds you do, the words you speak, the songs you sing, spiritually and in the physically. And everything you do in reliance with the Holy Spirit. And it's in the will of the Spirit and it is unto the Spirit. But your body is a living sacrifice. What happens in the world? If you don't have a six-pack, oh boy, you're bad. And bear with me, being a woman. You know what? If your bust doesn't look like Hollywood requires it, women, don't believe the lies of the world and of Hollywood. That is from the pit of hell. Your body is perfect. If you are short and not 6 foot two, you are perfect. If your feet might be too small or too big, you are perfect. Your body is there for you to give it as a living sacrifice to God. Forget about the six-pack. Forget about the nose job you want to have done when you have enough money one day. Those things are not what God requires from you. Believe me. The second thing God wants from us as a living sacrifice is our praise and thanks. God wants us to give Him the honor and the thanks. While we are singing, while you are speaking, while you are praying, individually, in your home, in your own room, or here corporately, God wants us to do that. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Sing in the Spirit. You know what? I'm not a musician and I can't sing. But I love singing to God because God doesn't hear the tone of my voice. He can't hear that I would not make the choir. But I have to sing to Him. I cannot stay quiet. I cannot afford to do that. I have to sing. And hallelujah, God loves my voice because He accepts my praises. I know that. The third thing is acts of love. So what sacrifice can you give to God? Your body, your praises, and acts of love. Not acts of service. It's great to do physical things. Jesus washed His disciples' feet. But what is acts of love? It is giving, but it's also sharing. It is also sacrificing some of your time. You think you deserve to do nothing. It is volunteering. It is doing good. Hebrews 13 verse 16 said, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So what is spiritual sacrifices? How can you give God that honor? Everything from Christ and through Christ and for Christ. So what do we need? You don't need to go out and buy like a fit sculpey. You don't need to go and find that perfect animal. It's you. God wants you to offer yourself as a sacrifice. What scares the living daylight out of me is the truth in the Word. And people, I shared this morning as well, those wise girls and the foolish girls is just in my mind for the last couple of months as my first morning thought, as my last evening thought. If your lamp is not filled and you need to go out and buy that oil, you might miss the whole wedding. There's a time for doing nothing, and there's a time for having fun. But I urge you today, with the authority of Jesus Christ, is to make sure your lamp is full. There's no more time to waste. You can't afford to miss the wedding. You can't afford to miss one day not paying attention to God and His Word. You can't afford it, because either you are there when the bridegroom arrives or you're out in the shop. It's one of two things. Samuel was a small babe. While he was sleeping, he heard a voice calling him. And first he thought it was Elijah calling Eli calling him. And it was not Eli. And the second time and the third time, baby, young Samuel realized it's God calling him. And he said, here I am, Lord. I'm willing. The day when God called Isaiah, he said, here I am, send me. The day when Jesus came to His disciples, one after the other one, they left everything, being at the fisher boat, being at the carpentry store, whatever they were doing. they left everything and they said, I'll follow you. Are you still drinking milk? Or are you on the solid foods? Where's your lamb? I want to remind you of verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Darkness, light. I want to live for the rest of my life in his marvelous light. I don't want to be in darkness. Please close your eyes with me. God, I stand before you in your presence tonight, Lord, in awe of your greatness and your goodness and your patience. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will come and take each one of us tonight, Lord, and just open our spiritual eyes. And let your word, Lord, be seed that fell into good soil. Lord, help us to give our bodies as a sacrifice to you. Help us, Lord, to sing praises to you, to speak words of praise, to give you thanks in everything we do. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us to do all those acts of love. Because, Lord, the world needs your marvelous light. The world needs you. I need you. Shofar George needs you, Lord. Without you, the living stone, Jesus Christ, we are nothing. And Father, we just declare that we are living stones. And we ask you, Lord, come and build us together in your church. In the name of Jesus. If you sit there and you think maybe I was harsh tonight, I can't ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry. What I'm asking from you is forget what I said. Listen what the Holy Spirit is telling you. I also have now the privilege to go over to a second part of the evening, or maybe the third part. You see the... You see, there's a nice land with the wheat, the harvest is ready. The word says, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. But I'm not negative. I want to say thank you. Tonight when I arrived here, these chairs were packed out. Everything was ready. There's coffee and tea in the foyer. Everything was ready. And you know what? That happens Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And on behalf of the church, I want to say thank you to you. Everyone, what you are doing as an act of love in this church, I appreciate it. And keep in mind, you are not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Amo. The word says, do all things unto God. So, thank you. But there's also a next slide. We can't stay where we were. We can't just keep on doing the same things over and over. And I'm going to take a couple of minutes and tell you what we as a church can offer you. The first slide there is we have Sunday services. You are here. So good, you know about that. Then we have a worship team like Johan and Francois and all the rest of these very talented people who can sing. They may. But we have a worship team. We have an intercession team. Do you think it's only the intercession team who are allowed to pray for the church? No. Are you part of that intercession team? Thank you, Amo. That's the right answer. You know what? It's not possible for every one of us to come on a Monday morning, 4:45, to pray here at the church. But maybe tomorrow is the day that you can join us. Maybe not tomorrow, but the next Monday. And if it's totally impossible for you to come and pray together on a Monday morning, 4:45, I want to ask you, please intercede for this church. Pray for God's protection over Amo and his family. Pray for protection for our national leadership in Stellenbosch. Pray for the Church of God. Pray for our government. But in church, we have a scheduled intercession meeting. And then we have encounter series. Oh boy. And if you have attended that, you will agree with me. It is life-changing. And now I'm going to make use of this fan for a little bit because this heat in me, we are not friends. We have encounter series. So if you see that advertised, please, please, please register and attend those sessions. It is life-changing. We have children's ministry at the moment, not during the evening services, because you don't have children or you don't bring them to church. But in the mornings, we have children's ministry, lovely, God-fearing women, not men at the moment, only men teaching our children about God and all the truth. Then we have small groups. If you haven't joined one yet, do so this week. Don't postpone. This week, join it, because Christ is also there. We have a student ministry on the campus, and here you sit. Oh, I'm so glad. You know what? The young people are the warriors that will take God's church from glory to glory. You, the students, you're sitting here, especially because you come from the outskirts of this country, from all over. When you leave George and you go back to your hometown or where you might find employment, you will continue to be God's church. So, thank you, students. I love you. And then we have youth in our church. If God lays in your hand, in your heart, that you can get involved with youth, please do it. Bible school. Please tell me who have done 1 or 2 or 3 years of Bible school. Francois, was it nice? Good. I love it. You know what? The word says the Bible is the bread of life and we need to eat it. If you have not done Bible school yet, please register for that. And if you have done year one, great. But now do year two or do year three. We need to feast on the word of God every day of our lives. We have parenting courses called Evergreen. If you have children or you plan on having children, that's a great course to follow. Marriage prep. Some of our youngsters in this church, like Craig and Renee, they got married in this month. And you know what? Our church want to invest in you. Before you say, I do, we want to walk that walk with you and make sure that you are as prepared as possible. This is a great church to fellowship. And then let's go. The word, Matthew 28 said, go into the world and reach the nations and all the outskirts of the world. And our church is doing it. If you have not been on any missions outreach, like Johan wearing his t-shirt with pride at the back, please, Mark as well, please consider doing it this year. Amo is taking a team the end of April to Sri Lanka. And hopefully we will take a second team somewhere in the year. God has used me powerfully on these mission trips. I'm a woman, and I'm much older than any one of you, except maybe some of you. If I can go and sleep on the ground in Malawi, you can do it. If Johan had to pull me up a mountain, you can do it. Thank you, Johan. I will owe you for my life. This church offers you a lot of things. And J.H. is the best team member to have on a mission trip, I'm telling you. He's there with a purpose. We have an amplified movement like Otanikwa High School and J.H. working there. Do you know how privileged we are to have a permanent person at the school where there are 1,000+ children, and J.H. brings that marvelous light of God to that high school? Community projects. We have Bethesda, the children's home. We are involved with Life Community. Then we have Options and Pambili. There are so many community projects. Paul referred to, I didn't draw that. Mine would have looked the same. Paul referred in the word to the church as a body. And we are all the different body parts. So if each one of you are involved with at least one of those things I mentioned, there are even more. If you're the hand, be the best hand. If you're the foot, be the best foot. And together we are the body of believers. And why can we do this? People sometimes reason to say, you know what? God says, follow the divine order. It's God first, then it's your family, your marriage, then it is the church. It's not a lie. But we can't just do one thing at a time. Remember what the word says? Christ in me, he's part of you. Your body is that living sacrifice. So God holds everything together. So why are we talking about these things? We want to do things differently this year in Shofar. If you have been a volunteer up to now, thank you. And please continue doing that. If you have not been actively involved with our church activities, either being as a member or serving there, we have forms we would like to distribute to you. And what does we want to get out of these forms? We want to know if you are involved at the moment and if you want to become. But what we really, really believe is that you need to act and you need to serve based on your gifts. So if you do not know what is your love language, if you do not know what is your spiritual gifts, please tell us on that form because we want to equip you. And you know what? If you can take a second and just really, really listen to me. I know the majority of the people sitting here tonight are students. And you think maybe, yeah, it's okay, I'm just here for 6 months. Or maybe I'm just here for a year and then I'm gone. God urged us in his word to be planted. He wants you to be where you are, but firmly rooted in this spiritual house. So while you are here, even if it's just for 6 months, maybe it's for a year, serve the body of Christ. Please, not for our sakes, but because God expects it from you. Because whatever you can gain here, the equipping to function in your gifts, the interaction, the impartation that will come out of your serving will just benefit you so you can give more. And then when you go back to your hometown, you are so much more equipped. So what do we want from you? Please complete that form. You are welcome to do it tonight. We have pens here. If you don't want to complete it tonight and you really want to think about a few things and maybe pray around it, please complete it and bring it back next week. Or even if we have your email address, we can mail it to you and you can complete it and send it back to us or fax it or any other way. But we want, as a church, God requires it from us to enable you to serve the body. Because preparing tea for the rest of the church is an act of love. Packing the chairs is an act of love. Don't miss out. Please. Amo, I think I'm done.
She's passionate, eh? Okay, so many times I've come to Krista and I'm like, okay, Krista, I don't know how to do this. I know I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church and supposed to lead it in the ways of God, but I don't know how to do this. I think you have a lot more experience. Just tell me what to do and I'll submit unto you and we can just do it. Okay. So this is how this whole thing also got why the reason why she's in just rolled out this whole thing. She designed the paper, she designed everything, and so on. We just want to bless you for this, for everything that you're busy doing for the church. Okay, so let's stand. Let's finish off with one song. Okay, so those forms what Krista committed to the morning service, I think she also is committing herself to that for the evening service. We wanna, because it's not only about us needing volunteers. That's like one part of what God expects of us as leadership, is to get you involved and to show you how to serve. But we see it as an opportunity to get to know you, but also as an opportunity to get you equipped in what God has already given you. Because all of you have already received gifts. Who of you just, maybe just by the way of putting up your hand, knows, for instance, your spiritual gifts, like the 9 gifts in Corinthians? Have you heard of that? Who of you know them? Okay? Some of you, most of you don't. Okay, but we want to see that developed in you, because if you know what you can give, you have so much more confidence in giving that. And there's a world out there, they're just waiting, they're waiting for Victor to walk in his gift of faith. They're waiting for Noah to walk in his gift of evangelism. We're just waiting for Marius to walk in his gift of giving gifts to everyone that he knows, giving his money and his car and everything away. No, just that. I guess God, in a way, is like, hey guys, if you come to me and if you plant yourself in a congregation, people that love you, I'm going to develop you. I'm going to show you who you are. I'm going to show you your identity, but also what you're good at. If you get to that place, hey God, I'm actually good at this thing. And it's you have given this thing to me. Okay, so we're going to go for a worship, last worship song now. To say, God, I surrender myself as a spiritual sacrifice to you. You can pray as Paul prayed in Romans 12, saying, Lord, I want to pour out my life as a sacrifice. Everything is yours anyway. You created me for a purpose, and the more I surrender to you, the more you can fulfill your purpose in my life. Thank you, Jesus.
I just felt the Lord revealed to me that is there someone here tonight that is their eyesight is affected by sinus or headaches? Is there somebody that we can pray for? Cool.
Great. Okay, we're just going to open it up for words of knowledge. So if you feel that God has given you supernatural revelation of something that He wants to heal, body part in somebody else, or something that somebody is struggling with. That's what word of knowledge is. Okay. I just felt that I want to call forward people that you're really seeking after God, and you really have been even diligent in just following Him, but you've never experienced like His physical touch from Him. Like you read in the book of Acts and you're like, wow, the Holy Spirit comes and people are experiencing Him physically. There's a physical manifestation. Maybe you're trusting God for a tongue. Maybe you're trusting God just for the power of God to flow through you. But we want to pray for people like that. You just feel dry. You feel dry. If that's you, I want to call you forward. And then if you have a word of knowledge, please come forward and just share it with people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone that you just feel dry? Just be brave. Just raise your hand and come forward. Great. Tendo, that's brave. We love you. Great. Anyone else? Great. Awesome, man. Awesome. Awesome. Great. Awesome. If I can get some of the facilitators just to come and pray. Marina and Philip, if you can you join us in praying for these people? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to leave the mic here. If you have a word of knowledge or some other gift that you want to share with us, please do that.
Yeah, Jesus, we just declare springs of life to flow right now, Lord Jesus. We just pray for your glory to come, Lord Jesus. I just pray for a fresh touch tonight, Lord Jesus, over these people. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that they would burn, Lord Jesus, burn for you like never before, Lord. That there would be that desire, Lord Jesus, that Krista spoke about, Lord Jesus. That unquenchable desire to run after you, Lord Jesus, like a person in love. Like a person in love, that they just want to run, Lord Jesus. I just declare over these people into the heavenlies tonight, Lord Jesus, that they are on fire, Lord Jesus. I just pray for the old wells to be dug up. The wells of joy, the wells of rejoicing, Lord Jesus.
Okay, I know we've already dismissed this meeting, but I feel there's still people that need to respond to this call of the Holy Spirit. You've never been touched by the Holy Spirit. You've never been filled by the Holy Spirit. You don't know about the spiritual gifts because you've never experienced the Holy Spirit. You haven't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So even if you're standing there with a coffee, please come forward. We want to pray for you. There's just a window of grace. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.